The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yep, work,
this is the Savage Nation Rock and Roll Friday, Dow Down 312. You thought it would be a Manchurian candidate. Little did you know it would be a Chicago candidate. Are you aware of the fact that Obama would fail security clearance with his ties to CARE and the Nation of Islam? That's right. According to Daniel Pipes, Obama would fail a security clearance because of his ties to CAIR and the Nation of Islam. He could not even become an FBI agent. He could not even become a member of his own security detail. But for the fact that America is half brainwashed, I don't have an answer for you. I have no answer for you right now, so I'll just go along. Obama's visiting his ailing grandmother. Not a report in the newspaper about any questions swirling around that, other than he's a devoted grandson who took time out from his busy schedule because his grandmother is ill but alert. Now, some of us have other images in our mind, you know, the pillows up in the air. Look, give it up, Granny. What's that? Those pictures. The passports. What? What'd you say, Obama? Barack? What'd you say, Barry? The pictures, the passports. Gee, Saturday Night Live is so brave when it comes to attacking Sarah Palin's clothing and John McCain. Why don't they do a skit about a pillow and a grandmother in Hawaii? They don't have the guts for that, all of those wild, crazy potheads. Well, you asked for it, you got it. Markets are collapsing out of fear that he's going to take over and give us a Cuba-style economy. I mean, let's face it. I have told you that it was Bush and his cronies who did this to us, along with Bonnie Frank, I know, and Chris Dodd. But let's not forget who's been running the economy for the last 8 years. Well, it isn't even Bush. It's Goldman Sachs. I think they took a balloon payment on the way out the door, figuring they'd throw the hot potato at the Democrats so they can come back and say, see, the Democrats can't manage an economy. Then they shop another an R, you know, and it goes around and around till there's nothing left. Will the last one out of leaving America please shut off the lights? Well, will they be already shut off? Rock and roll. Play some more rock and roll. I got callers. I don't even want to take them. I am so burned out. What else is on my website here? Look at these stories on my website. They're horrible. The news is terrible. S&P slashes New York Times rating to junk. Let's say you're not feeling well. You know, you're afraid. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. Try to be Pinchy Sulzberger, the kid whose grandfather created the New York Times, the kid whose father gave him one of the greatest newspapers in the world. How would you like to be in Pinch Sulzberger's shoes? I mean, misery loves company. Just think of yourself as him. You inherit a newspaper like the New York Times, and Standard & Poor's slashes its ratings of the New York Times company into junk territory? Wow. I don't know how anyone could live there. Me, I've been down. I've been up. I've been up. I've been down. I've been down. I've been up. I've had old Volkswagens. I've ridden the subway. I've ridden the bus. I've worked in ice cream plants. I've been a busboy. I've been shafted by the government for 25 years through affirmative action. So I know what left-wing socialism brings. Trust me, I've lived through it. You know, hey, play some Frank Sinatra. I've been up, I've been down, I've been this, I've been that, I've been a pawn, a prawn. I love that one where I've been a prawn, a crayfish, a lobster, and a clam.
I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet. A pawn and a king.
I've
been up and down and over and out.
Yeah, that's more like
it. And I know one thing.
Just roll with the punches.
Each time I find myself flat on my face.
Nothing's getting me up today, nothing. I'm thinking of going to Las Vegas for the night. A big deal. You know, like, I'll go to Las Vegas. What am I going to do in Las Vegas? I hate Las Vegas. Except when I'm there, then I like Las Vegas. The thought of Las Vegas I like. Being there I don't like, then I do like it. I like restaurants. I like the atmosphere. But what am I going to do there for that? Is it exciting for me to go? Is Las Vegas down right now? I don't even know. I'm one of the few people who enjoy it. Like, I like L.A. I haven't been there in a long time, but I enjoy Los Angeles. I don't know how Sunset Boulevard is going to be affected by this at all. Obviously, there's going to be a deep cuts into the Lamborghini brigades, you know. But look, let's look at the positive. When Obama takes over and turns us into Cuba, little by little and step by step, you'll be seeing lots of vintage cars in the streets. So, I mean, if you love cars, you've got that to look forward to. Vintage cars, men in undershirts playing dominoes. Men will be tinkering with their cars up on milk boxes. In other words, go to a barrio in your city, and that's what America might look like through large swaths of the suburbs. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. The lawns will no longer be perfect. There'll be like weeds growing everywhere. Think of your butcher shop. Think of one salami hanging in the butcher shop with a line around the block. Think of Poland before Glasnost. Think of Moscow before the fall of the wall. Think of a shoulder of land with 25 people waiting to buy it. Think of the underground market. Look, it is what it is. It is what it is. He could be a foreign agent, for all we know. Why do I say a thing like that? Why? Why? Have you not looked into this guy's birth? He's hiding it. He is hiding it. Now, I know many of you don't want to believe it because you think he's a combination of JC and, you know, whatever. But Obama's Indian school registration lists him as a Muslim. If you go to michaelsavage.com, it links to Daniel Pipe's article. And he says Obama would fail a security clearance. And it clearly shows that Obama had a Muslim childhood, such as the Indonesian school registration listing him as a Muslim. And then he says, one watches with dismay as the Democratic candidate manages to hide the truth on this issue. It's unbelievable. But let's put aside that issue. How about his indebtedness to extremist Islam? How about his indirect ties to the Council on American Islamic Relations, which has tried to put me out of business? Who are they? They're listed by the U.S. government as an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas funding trial, yet a local judge in the city of San Francisco named Susan Ilston, appointed by Bill Clinton, found in their favor against me. And yet the same group has been condemned by the Anti-Defamation League for its consistent record of racism and anti-Semitism. Of course, this very same wonderful group, the Anti-Defamation League, didn't lift a pinky to help me. They didn't lift a pinky ring. But I'm not, I don't expect anyone to come to my aid. You know, we're all in this alone. How about Obama's ties to Islamists, such as Khalid al-Mansur? How about Saudi Prince al-Walid bin Talal? I mean, there's plenty of stuff you can look up. How about his ties to Kenny Gamble, also known as Luqman Abdul Haq? How about the Muslim Alliance in North America? How about the Mazen Asbahi connection? How about the Saudi-sponsored North American Islamic Trust? You want to look into any of this? Oh, you're not interested because he's the anointed one. How about Tony Resco, who partnered for 3 decades with Jabir Herbert Muhammad, a son of number one leader Elijah Muhammad, and says he gave Jabir and his family millions of dollars over the years? Resco said he served as executive director of the Muhammad Ali Foundation. Well, what's that? Well, look into it. How about his wonderful preacher, Jeremiah Wright? Remember his pastor for 20 years? Remember Jeremiah Wright, who we're not allowed to mention? Play one Jeremiah Wright soundbite, because I promised I would right up to election day. Let's play one of them. Yeah. I'll go blow my nose while you're looking for
it. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
See, that's what you're going to have. But, hey, what's the difference? Hey, hey, ho, ho, Weston Civ has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. So if you want America to be run by, let's say you went to college between 1990 and recently. If you can envision America run by the Black Students Union of your campus, plus the lesbian and gay radicals, that's what you're having. Okay? Now play some John Coltrane for me, because I could care less right now. I've done all I can. Changes or Naima? I don't remember. Steps? All right. Definitely. Use a cappuccino, never mind steps. I'll just play jazz the rest of my radio career. Play rock and roll. I won't do anything political. It'll be subtext on the re-education camp. All right, here's the serious stuff on this Rock and Roll Friday, Jazz Friday, whatever you want to call it. No, play it. Play the. Let me shut up for a minute. I want to hear this. How in the world? How could anyone be this? How could anyone have a brain like this? He's faster than a hockey puck. This guy's faster than a hockey puck. He's faster than a Muhammad Ali left jab in his prime. This guy's faster than the golfer's best golf shot. He's faster than a NASCAR car that's spinning off the track. Looking at the Talk Radio Research Project for 2008 here on the Savage Nation, and I'm looking at the, you know, they break it down. It's kind of non-scientific, but it's more or less who listens to talk radio. And it's broken down by ethnicity, annual household income, charitable giving, voted in a political party. And it's, as I've known to be true, the largest percentage of you are independent. You don't know that, but according to this, 52% of you are independent, 17% are Repubs, 16% are Dems, Democrats, 25% identify yourself as libertarian. That's kind of gone out of favor recently, libertarian. That was like hot in the 90s. I'm a libertarian. No one knows what that is, really. Libertarian. I'm not knocking it, but I mean, like, what is it? It's like a quasi position to be in. White 63%, black 20%, Hispanic 10%, Asian 3%, other. That would be all the people in San Francisco, the others. They don't know who they are. I have no idea what their sexual or racial identity is. Favorite non-radio news sources, intranet-only websites. A whopping huge percentage of you only go to the internet. Who buys a newspaper anymore? Very few. You see old white liberals in San Francisco buy the local paper. They sit and read it from, like, down and with the finger. You know the intelligence level when they have to use a finger line by line. So there it is. That's the talk radio. So here's the question for you. Let's start with one demographic group who President Bush has not yet captured. I mean, excuse me, President Bush. I mean, John McCain. I'm trying to separate him in my mind. Who John McCain is not yet, blah, blah. Okay. Evangelicals, let me address this to you folks. Evangelicals, 78% of you voted for whatever his name was, Bush. And yet, according to recent polls, only 70% of you are going to vote for McCain. Evangelicals only, how do you justify voting for Obama, a man who will rip the Ten Commandments from every courthouse in America? Catholics now, how do you justify voting for Obama, a man who will allow the murder of the unborn to continue unabated? Jews, how do you justify voting for Obama, a man who will sit down with the Hitler of Iran, the sworn enemy of Israel, without precondition? How's that for a starter? I'll be back.
Savage.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me.
It is the Savage Nation, the loss of innocence. America lost its innocence a long time ago. And that is how a harlequin like Obama can be turned into the Messiah himself. America has lost its discernment. Doesn't know north from south, east from west, good from evil, right from wrong. So how can it know the difference between an authentic man and an advertising slogan? A creation of the ad campaign. So we'll have to live with it, that's all. So after he becomes president, because I think McCain is basically not running anymore. I mean, he could still win. He could still win. If the 12% undecided come out and vote for him, he can win. But since he's not appearing on Rush or on Savage or on Leprechaun Show, how can he win? How? He goes on marginal radio shows, and he won't go on shows that will ask a real question, so the audience will probably, you know, not go out for him. We don't know. They may or they may not, but we'll live with Obama. And what's going to happen is the biggest reaction to Obama is not going to come from the Republicans. It is likely to come from the Democrat Party itself when they wake up after the long celebration and realize what they've done to themselves. They're going to be the first ones to start reacting to what he does. Mark my words. You're going to see the wealthy, powerful elements within the Democrat Party who think that they can control this man are going to be sadly mistaken when they wake up from the hangover and they find out that, like another gentleman in Germany in the 1930s, who also got elected by a popular vote, by the way, with the support of major money like the Krupp Steel fortune, they too thought they could control this charismatic young man who promised change. But then they found out that they could not. They found out that the young man who promised change in Germany would not listen to them after he gained the chancellorship. And that's when the fun is going to begin in this country, when the old guard Democrats wake up and realize what they have done to themselves. Then you're going to see the sparks fly. The Republicans are non-existent. There is no Republican Party. It does not exist. It ceased to exist a long time ago. You have special interests linked together under the banner of Republican, but I don't know what they stand for. They certainly don't stand for what I believe in, borders, language, and culture. So I have no idea what the Republican Party stands for. I know what the Democrats Party stands for. That I know. And they have no idea what's going to happen when he turns on Israel. What's going to happen to the wealthy Jewish people who voted for Obama when they realize that he is not their friend anymore? And I can go down the list of other Democrats who are going to wake up with a hangover and say, what have we done? And then they'll find out if it's too late or not. They'll find out at that point. They're going to be the ones.
Savage.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you'll know when. You know I love you.
So yes, the anointed one strangely leaves the campaign trail to visit his ailing grandmother, just as 69 million people on the internet have been asking about his place of birth. Now, of course, it doesn't affect the midstream media because, as you well know, they're not in touch with reality nor with the people that they're supposedly reaching. But 69 million people cannot be ignored. You know, like they used to say 50,000 Frenchmen can't be wrong. I would say 69 million Americans can't be wrong. They're asking questions. It's really weird that Obama goes to visit the grandmother right at the end of this campaign, when people are asking these questions, and that we know he lived in Kenya, we know he lived in Indonesia, we know he had two Muslim fathers. Who's that at the door now? Barry? Barry? You're not welcome around these parts anymore. You really became uptown, didn't you? Barry, go. If you don't leave right now, I'll press my life alert. Now get out of here. Houston, Texas. Don, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you so much for taking my call. It's an honor to speak with you. I'm an evangelical Christian, and I am actually considering casting a vote for Barack Obama, and I'll tell you why. I think a Barack Obama White House is the quickest way to ensure that we get a true conservative in the White House. McCain is another liberal in Republicans' clothing, just like Bush was, and all Bush has done is sully the name of the Republican Party. I think 4 years of Obama would screw this country up so much that there would be a...
Well, hold on. Let's pause right here. Could 4 years of Obama be worse than 8 years of Bush?
Yeah, I think so. It would be worse in a different way, but it could do... I mean, just...
See, that's the danger. Bush has done pretty bad damage to this country. He's done a few decent things. If I'm reaching... You have to give the man credit for one or two things. He's gone to sleep. As an evangelical, would you say Bush has gone to sleep on the culture wars?
Yeah, I definitely would.
Absolutely. Okay. As an evangelical, would you say that Bush in any way reflects any of the values of evangelical people?
No, not anymore. I think he talked a good game for the first 3.5-4 years, but once he got reelected, he started, seemed
right.
like he started.
That's right.
Work.
He needed the evangelical vote way back when to get where he was. Then he needed you again in 04. But somewhere in this next 4 years, like within a year, it was gone. It was over.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just building his presidential library at this point, I guess. I really don't know where he's gone. But I do worry about the Supreme Court nominations that Barack could get in. But, there would not have been a Ronald Reagan had it not been for Jimmy Carter.
Well, I understand all of that, but look at some of the Jimmy Carter judges that we're still stuck with in America.
It is true, which is why
okay. I'm... Okay, be very, very careful of that one, because these federal judges are there forever, and they're like pollutants in a river. You can never get rid of them. I mean, they are like toxic pollutants in a river, these judges.
They are not
biodegradable, my friend. Don, as an evangelical, I'm going to ask a personal question. Do you listen to my show sometimes, occasionally, or almost all the time?
I have an hour and a half commute home from work, and I listen to you every day.
Okay. If someone said to you, what do you like most about the Savage Nation, and what do you like the least, what would the answers be?
Most, I would have to say that regardless of whether or not I agree with everything you say, I feel like you have conviction when you say them. I feel like you truly say things because you believe your opinion is for the best of this country. You do not have ulterior motives when you speak. And I guess the thing I like least about it is during this during a long campaign such as this one, there comes a point when I feel like I have to unplug. And I agree with you so much. Sitting in an hour and a half worth of traffic, sometimes I just get agitated to the point where, not from disagreeing with you, but agreeing with you so much, I feel your fervor through the radio. I know.
So you feel my frustration and my anger, and you can't take it anymore.
Correct.
I hear you, my friend. Well, Don, I'm going to send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity, whether you know a story in there or not, because I'd like you to have a gift for all the hours you've suffered through me.
Yes, sir. I'm anxious to hear the story about the guy stirring the tuna with his arm.
Oh, Fat Al's tuna. Beautiful story. That's a great story. Let me. You know what? I think I'll do it on the Natch right now. I have a few minutes here. No, I'm not in the story. I don't have anything in me right now. You know, I feel like a battery that needs water. I feel like a plant that needs sunshine. I use any corny metaphor you want. I am. This is worse than the bombing of Serbia. This has been longer than the bombing of Serbia. I feel like I've lived through the siege of London, like the Battle of Britain, in an underground bunker, listening to this garbage for the last, it's over a year, it doesn't end. You know, the real question is what people are going to do in the media after the election's over. Oh, sure, the hacks on television will go on for a week or two about breaking down the demographics and who did this and who did that. But how much longer can they can maintain the charade? Then they're going to have to go back to the hard news. They're not capable of it anymore. They can't do it. So, I mean, I'll just do rock and roll and music and jazz and work it in that way, read the Bible when I'm in the mood, tell stories. Barry, is that you? You really think he went there to visit an ailing grandmother who raised him? Do you honestly believe that? Do you believe a man is ambitious, as mercilessly ambitious as any man who gets to this stage of life would take time out 10 days before the finish line to suddenly visit his ailing grandmother because she has osteoporosis? Do you actually believe that? Or, well, I can't give the or, because the or, of course, I'll get flooded. I need some music right now. I need some music. I want some music. Jamaica High School, 1957.
life could be a dream.
True cut,
if
no
I
car.
Take you up in paradise up above. If you will tell me I'm
love with
the
everybody sitting in front of me in the classroom.
Dream,
anything but the teacher. Teenagers have such a libido on them, my God.
If only all my precious plans
would do they vote? How old do they have to be to vote in
if
Chicago?
12? My whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Now every time
yeah,
I look
it sucks.
At you,
I can't get into anything today. Turn it off. Nothing. I'm just. I feel wasted. I feel like a wasteland. I feel like Elliot's wasteland. I am the wasteland. I have become the wasteland. I am the wasteland. After 2 years of putting up with this rubbish, I am the wasteland. I can't take it anymore. Anything would be better than this. Anything would be better than this. Indiana, Marty, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Michael, I wanted to comment with you on a comment you made just a little earlier. And that is, you know, and I agree with you just probably 99.9% of the time. And I don't know how serious you were a few minutes ago, but your comment on how the Democrats will really wake up and how they'll be so disappointed, you know, after Obama.
No, I was deadly serious. I genuinely think that the middle-of-the-road Democrats, of which there are quite a few, mainly the moneyed ones, remember, Obama represents the far-left radical wing of the Democrat Party. He does not represent the mainstream Democrat. They're in for quite a surprise when the Bill Ayers wing of the Democrat Party takes over this country. And they're going to be the ones to scream the loudest and the firstest. So I really mean that.
You know, I hear you, and I do agree with you so much. But, you know, I'm at the point anymore. I'm with the Democrats and the liberals, how bad it is anymore. You know, if Obama gets in there, I think people are getting so ate up anymore. He could get in there and do pretty well anything. He could make them tell him to do whatever, and they'll follow him to the end. You know,
all right, what if Obama becomes president and he says, now, although there was a recent vote on the Second Amendment, it's illegitimate because I wasn't president, and therefore I'm going with executive order to make the streets of America safer with the American Safe Street Act, and I hereby nullify the Second Amendment. We want every American to turn in their guns, their handguns. You have 1 year to do so, after which there'll be severe penalties. What would happen?
You know, I really think there's so many at this point that they just bow down to him and do it. I'm not saying, you know, people like maybe you and me, but I'm just telling you, there's so many anymore that won't stand up and fight for anything. I'm just so...
You know what? I agree with you 110%. I do not believe there's a remnant of resistance in this country to any political wind. I believe the political machine is so corrupt and so all-powerful in that they own the media. When you consider that they own the media, when you consider what they own and the power they have over the mind of the American people, I believe they could get away with virtual re-education camps. They could get away with lining people up against the wall and shooting them in silence. I'm telling you, we could move right into us. The only thing preventing that from happening is pure chance. I do not think there's anything to stop them from doing it. How do you like that, Marty?
No, Michael, I agree with you. You know, I've been hoping and praying so much. You know,
I want to go back and I want to talk about what Bill Clinton did to this country for 8 years. He destroyed the militias. Remember, the militias were very powerful. There were many of them all over this country. There were left wing, right wing militias. There were black militias, white militias. They're gone. Bill Clinton destroyed them. Remember that?
Very much.
OK. Now, Bill Clinton was a front man for the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, and Goldman Sachs. George Bush is a front man for Goldman Sachs and CFR. Make no mistake about it. So after Bill Clinton destroyed any remnant of militant rebellion in this country on the right, George Bush destroyed the core base of the Republican Party, the conservative base. He gutted it. He decimated it in 8 years. So after 16 years of Goldman Sachs, there is no resistance left in this country, my friend.
That's what scares me, Michael. What is happening?
It should scare you. It should scare you. There's nothing to stop a demagogue from any complete agenda he may have in his mind. It should scare you very deeply. But the person who should be saying this is not me. Who's the person who should be saying this?
You know, and this is rhetorical.
John McCain. John McCain. John McCain, the fall guy. Why is John McCain not raising the bar on these fears when demagoguery and fear is what Obama's been using from day one? Why is McCain not using any of these tactics?
You know, Michael, and I don't know if you can in some way answer this question or not. It's probably rhetorical, okay? But why? Why aren't the American people in this country standing up? And, you know, there's so many that's like you and like me. Where's the backbone? I mean, why are we not standing up?
Because we don't have a voice other than a few guys in talk radio. Don't you understand John McCain is not the real McCoy here? He's not the real McCain that we all wish him to be. There may have been a time that John McCain was a war hero, and I certainly don't use that term lightly. I mean, being shot down while in combat makes him a war hero to me. Suffering at the hands, the merciless torture that he suffered at the hands of the Vietnamese sadists makes him a war hero because he didn't crack and turn on his own country. But that was a long time ago, Marty. That was a very long time ago. He's an old man right now. And the man has lost the fire in his belly to the point that he does not lead the opposition to this liberal juggernaut. He should be the one sounding the alarm bells about Obama's connections to Ayers in different manner than he's been doing. But, you know, most Americans don't even care about William Ayers. You know what? They care about the economy. John McCain has not even clarified a difference between himself and Obama on the economy. In fact, Obama has outmaneuvered him on the economy. John McCain had the audacity to come out and say he would, he would have the government buy up every bad mortgage. So he was more to the left of Obama fiscally than you can imagine. He did not show fiscally conservative principles or a stance that could give people anything to back, you know, to back him with.
You know, Mike, I'll leave you with this final comment. I would just give anything, though, if I could see the men and women of this country that are truly the good salt of this country to stand up, though, and just once try to organize and do.
Let me explain, and I don't want to be even more pessimistic than I am, Marty. I want to go back 3 months ago, 6 months ago. Do you remember the Church of Latter-day Saints, the FSLB in Texas? The breakaway sect of the Mormon Church that had a polygamy. You remember that one?
Very much.
Do you remember what the Texas Rangers did? From the order of a single crackpot small-town judge, armed men who you would think would be good Christians and would have a conscience went in with machine guns and tanks and threatened women and children and took their children away from them because one crackpot liberal judge in Texas gave the order to do so. Armed men from the Texas Rangers went in and terrorized women and children, unarmed women and children, and took the babies away from them. We were living in fascist Germany right there. That is a portent of things to come. The cops have lost their guts. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I was scanning around. Welcome back to the Savage Nation at night, trying to watch TV last night. I couldn't even watch it. I scanned the cable, Comcast. So I go through the HBO channels looking for a movie. And then I see this show called Cat House. It is so vile, this fat pig in Vegas. And they're talking about matter-of-factly a menage a trois, and the couples love it, and the women really get behind it, and one dirty prostitute after another, and that pimp, that slob who runs it. How in the world is this permitted on cable, I ask myself. Answer. The answer is that the biggest pornographers in America, as I've said to you 1,000 times, if I've said it once, are not little operators. The biggest pornographers in America are the major cable carriers, Comcast, AT&T. They are the major pornographers in America. Do you understand this? Should filth like this be allowed in your living room? Now you say, well, we can argue over this pornography if you want, but the issue has not even been raised in this campaign. How about the issue of pornography? Why is it not an issue in this campaign? How about the issue of drugs? Let's take another one. Let's say you can argue over pornography, whether it's harmful or not, and there could be a dispute on that. Is anyone going to argue that the flood of illicit drugs in America is something we should be ignoring? Has it come up once in any of these campaign discussions? No. Why? Because the old hacks, the old vaudevillians, the Bob Schieffers, the baggy-eyed Bolshevik from NPR, whose name I forget, the man who nobody knows who he is, the old Bolshevik shaker, one after the other. What's his name? Jim Lehrer, the old Bolshevik ballet. They don't ask these questions. Why were drugs not a question? Now, the big pregnant question, the 400-pound gorilla, so to speak, is the illegal alien problem. They say 12 million. I say 25 to 30 million are living here illegally. You look around your city. You look around your city, and you know that there are 30 million illegals here. Now, you're telling me this is not the issue of issues? This is not the issue of issues? And McCain, not a word. Why? Because they have an agreement behind the scenes not even to talk about it. Now, I'd like to know how they're going to legalize 25 million illegal aliens when the economy's broken. Where are they going to get the money from? They're going to say, "Go, oh, amigo, bring in five relatives. Sure, we're a wonderful, welcoming country. Yeah, bring them in. And what are you going to do with them, you morons, you? You're going to have 25 million people bringing in their relatives when the country right now is about to collapse into a depression itself? They say, a recession. They're propping it up by printing, with a printing press. Your dollar is probably worth 30% less than it was worth 3 months ago from what Mr. Paulson, Hank Paulson, has done by bailing out his friends on Wall Street. I know they were bailing out their friends. Do you know that they just pumped another, what, $400 billion into banks, but they won't tell you which banks? You know they won't even disclose which banks got the money? Why won't they disclose which banks got the money? Well, because you're liable to see that the so-called bank called Goldman Sachs got it. Morgan Stanley got it. They weren't banks 2 months ago, but over a weekend, they made themselves into commercial banks just so they could get bailout money from you, the schmuck. Now you say, well, what can you do about it? The answer is nothing. When you have a criminal gang taking over a country, as we have right now, and make no mistake about it, the crime that is being committed against this country right now, the biggest crime in its history, is not being committed by MS-13. It's not being committed by the Crips. It's not being committed by the Bloods. It's not being committed by any gang in the street. It's being committed by the gang on Wall Street. It is the biggest gang robbery of America in history. They have sacked the treasury. The only thing left is the granary. You have to study history to know what I'm talking about. What do I mean by the granary? That's coming next. The price of hay is so high right now that farmers are killing their cattle. Go to michaelsavage.com. Take a look at the story on that one. Did you see that story on my left side? The hay story, it's an amazing story. If it's still up there, I can't find it right now.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
God, I could just feel the train. I could feel the F train. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I just got a gestalt flash of the F train. E train, the F train, you take the A train. Frankie Lyman, what a voice when he came out of nowhere, remember? But he got too rich, too fast, too famous, too fast. Took needle, the next thing he was dead at 20, 21. Anyway, here we are, 5 million years later, and we wake up and America's gone, gutted out. Who gutted it out? Why, all the boys who went to Yale, Hotchkiss, MBA, Harvard all the way. All of the yuppie scum of the earth, raised without a conscience. The yuppie scum raised without a conscience who think that the world was theirs. All of the would-be geckos of the world, the morons who couldn't run a souvlaki stand without their father's money. They're the ones who just gutted Wall Street and took away your pension. Campaign worker admits making it. So, as I said to you, the biggest gang in history has invaded America, but it didn't come from external sources. It came from the enemy within. Remember what I kept reading you? I kept reading to you from Cato, The Enemy Within, The Enemy Within, The Enemy Within, when I wrote that book. And I quoted Cato. He speaks your language. He walks like you. He talks like you. Speaks in your tongue. There they are. There they are, the nice white men running America right now. You want to make it race? I'll make it race. The biggest gang in American history has just raped the Treasury. They have bailed out themselves and their friends. They broke their competitors over their knee, Bear Stearns, stole their real estate, stole their assets, threw the old ladies in the gutter. And then, to make matters worse, they then rewrote the banking laws overnight without any input from anybody, giving themselves, like pigs in the trough, more fat. Now, who stood up to them? You say, well, the government's supposed to stop this. They are the government. What do you mean the government's supposed to stop them? Who put this guy in office? Who selected Hank Paulson? Now, I'm not accusing him of wrongdoing. I am suggesting there's a scintilla of a question about double dealing here. If the man's former CEO of Goldman Sachs, and they're one of the last investment banks standing, you'd like to think that the man might recuse himself during the bailout, right? And did anyone ask him to do that other than me? No. So as I said to you, historically, when a foreign army invades another nation and defeats the army, what they do is they sack the treasury, they take the gold. That's already been done. Now they're just printing money after they sacked it. They took their balloon payment. So now they're just printing money, devaluing the dollar. So what's next? Well, a nation generally doesn't revolt as long as the people are fat and happy. So the next thing is the food supply. I say, well, that can't happen here. We're one of the breadbaskets of the world. Are you sure of that? There's an article on my website, michaelsavage.com, which I wrote a clever headline to. Clever, I think. Hey, hi, cattle die, next goes the food supply. And what this is about, from the Associated Press, is about farmers either allowing their cattle to die or killing them. The dead were stacked in two piles, 70 cows in one, 30 in another, hidden away in the crevices of this scenic hilly ranch country where cattle outnumber people. This is in Butte, Nebraska. Now, why are these cattle dying? Well, they don't know why, but they think that they're letting them die. They're starving to death or emaciated out of neglect. Why? In recent months, the per-ton cost of hay has risen by about 80%, adding to the already high cost of other feed caused by lofty corn prices, which have slipped recently. High commodity and fuel prices have encouraged farmers to stop raising hay, which is mostly used to feed cattle in the winter and early spring. Hay prices are highest I've ever seen. So you say, well, what do I care? Well, you better care about hay, whether you're eating a steak or a hamburger, whether you're eating a slice of ham, whether you're eating a sausage, chicken apple sausage. It all goes back to the ignoble grasses. The grasses. It's all about the grasses. The grasses being wheat, rye, corn, oats. You get what I'm saying? That's the basis of our entire food chain is the is the ignoble grass. The grasses are the basis of our entire food supply. If the grasses were to go through a virus, for example, we'd all starve to death on the planet. Between wheat, corn, rye, oats, and a few other grasses, because that's what they are, highly cultivated, hybridized grasses, the food chain goes, it collapses. Now, I'm not going to go down that road right now. I'm not going to say that if Obama wins, the grasses are going to die out of fear. I'm not going there. I'm just telling you that there's some things at play right now that are very, very strange, biblical in their proportions, and that we're living through a repeat of history. And that's all. That's all I have to say right now. There's nothing more to be said to that. There's no conclusion to it. There's no conclusion. There's no punchline. There's no clever ending to that particular paragraph. So I will go to the callers. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The lead story on MichaelSavage.com is Obama says grandmother may not see Election Day. I don't believe it. I still do not believe that a man as mercilessly ambitious as Barack Hussein Obama would leave the campaign trail with only days to go to visit an ailing grandmother. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. It stinks to high heaven. Now, why the media is not asking any questions at all about this, not even raising so much as a question mark, indicates to me that there is a conspiracy to hide something. You'd think at least one newspaper person, one in the whole country, all these skeptical Associated Press girls, one of them who went to the Annenberg School of Journalism, the Kennedy School of Government, the Berkeley School of Journalism, you'd think one of these idiots would raise one question, even a minor on a minor key, like, Mr. Obama, how come you're here at this late stage? Aren't you worried about it? Even ask that an oblique question. Nothing. He wasn't allowed to. He didn't allow any questions. Welcome to the new Soviet America, the USS of A, the United Soviet States of America. The United Soviet States of America, where not one iota of information leaks out through the midstream media unless the government approves it. Beware the government media complex, 1998, Michael Savage, Commonwealth Club. Surely one journalist in the country could say, you know, maybe it is a little odd. What the heck is he doing there? After all, God bless this woman. She's not dead. He didn't go to a funeral. She's not on her deathbed. She has osteoporosis. And since 89 people have asked on the internet about his birth, whether it's in Kenya, where's the birth certificate, why haven't they produced a legitimate one, 89 million people can't be wrong, at least answer one question. But that's why the New York Times stock is reduced to junk. That's why ABC, CBS, and NBC are reduced to having vaudevillians. Vaudevillians with pancake makeup as the ship goes down, like the Titanic. Continuing to lie to the people. The people are not stupid. The people want more than they're getting from these vaudevillians with pancake makeup. So who do they turn to? Me. I am the news. In the broadcast media, I am the news. Solely? No. No, solely not. But I am the news. I am one of the principal sources of news in the United States of America. And so I, as a watchdog of the government for the people, have an obligation to ask questions that are uncomfortable. So with the financial meltdown, I ask the question, why is Hank Paulson still Treasury Secretary? Is there not even a hint of impropriety here? He came from Goldman Sachs, and they're one of the last investment banks standing. Did he just give money to Goldman Sachs? Can't ask that question. He wrote rules over the weekend, last weekend, which said you can't ask which banks got the money. No one's asking the question, so I ask the question, because I don't work for one of the networks that have interlocking corporate directorships that have the same exact financial ties as he. So I ask the question, because I'm an independent, a genuine independent. I don't work for a big corporation, say I'm an independent talk show host. I actually am an independent because I'm syndicated by a small independent operator, as opposed to fakers who are syndicated by major corporations with direct ties to Wall Street, who claim they're independent when they're not. So I am the news. So I ask, isn't it at least strange that no one's asking about Hank Paulson's appearance of impropriety? And on the issue of Obama and the birth certificate, isn't it at least strange that with only days to go before the election, he would fly to visit an ailing grandmother? Does this really make sense to you? Isn't there any a hint of curiosity as to what he's really doing there, or if he could be doing something there other than visiting his grandmother? Can't you ask the question? Let's assume I'm wrong. Then ask the question. Clear the air. Ask the question. Mr. Obama, there are those on the right who are saying that you were born in Kenya, that you haven't produced a valid birth certificate. That's not true, is it, Mr. Obama? Let him answer it. Don't just say we have no right to ask the question. Or Mr. McCain, the core base of the Republican Party, the core conservative base of America, has been clamoring for controlling the illegal aliens. Why won't you address that problem, Mr. McCain? Now, if the media pretends to be for Obama, which they are, and pretends to attack McCain, which they do, why won't they ask McCain the question about illegal aliens? Because he and Obama have a tacit agreement that we don't talk about illegal aliens. We don't talk about the drug problem. We don't talk about dozens of things that mean anything to the American people. That's why we're politicians. We're worthless. I'll be back.
Savage.
the Savage Nation. Coming up next to finish out the show is Rick Roberts. I have an appointment I've got to run to, unfortunately, but Rick is great. He'll be here to field your calls and your paranoia about Barack Hussein Obama right here at the Savage Nation. Again, my website's michaelsavage.com. Books are shipping. Only a few thousand copies are left, honest to God. I've laid it on the line with you. I printed 15,000. 10,000 have been sold, roughly within 100. And I know how things go around, you know, holidays and Thanksgiving. They're going to be sold out probably just around that time. And I'm not reprinting the first edition. I decided I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't want to be talking about it forever. I did it really as a, let's put it to you this way, I wanted my core base to have it. So that's it. 1-800-449-8255, phone number. You know how bad things are, how corrupt everything is? I try to give money to the Sea Scouts. I like to give some money here and there. If an officer gets killed, for example, God forbid, I give some money to the widows. And what are you going to do? It's a lot. It's not a lot of money, but you've got to give something. So I wanted to give money to the Scouts. I actually tried to give money to the Sea Scouts. I emailed them saying, I'd like to give you money. Do you have a capital project? I never got an answer back from them. Then I go on the Sea Scouts website. One of the heads of the Sea Scouts out of here in San Francisco in Berkeley was arrested for molestation. They put him in a clink, like a Bernie Ward job. I said, oh, my God, no. That too? Captain Ed took him out to the Farallon Islands and went below to show him some rope tricks? I could not believe my eyes. Everywhere you turn, there's corruption. Every institution. It's no wonder people turn inward and play with their dog. It's no wonder people are hermit-like in the country. It's like people are turning away from this society. It's like, remember that famous painting, is it Hieronymus Bosch of the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve are seen like shielding their eyes from the horror? Remember that? I think it's Hieronymus Bosch. Sometimes I feel like that. I feel like I'm in a Hieronymus Bosch painting. It's like, how much horror can you take? How much can you look like? It's like looking into the sun. Eventually, you'll go blind. I feel like an etching, like a Hieronymus Bosch etching. I feel like I'm inside that etching in the Garden of Eden. Or I feel as though I'm staring into the sun and I've gone blind. I can't look at it anymore. I don't know which way to turn in this country. What institution can I look at with any stability, with any safety, with any sense of solidity? The answer is very few institutions. Now, you say, well, now I'm going to get into the preachy. I will. Because there are some universals. For example, and I'm not going to read from the Bible right now, but the Bible is a rock of ages. Why do you think this book, this humble book, hated by Obama's minions? Why do you think this humble book, hated by Bill Ayers? Why do you think this humble book that has lasted for eons is loved by so many millions around the world, by the way? Because it's a rock of ages. It's a bulwark against exactly the times we are living through. It speaks of the corruption of power. It speaks of the corruption of government. It even warns you to have no faith in the government, that it will always fail you. It teaches you that. If you actually read it, you'll find it all in there. It teaches you that we as man are corrupt, that we're weak. We are corrupt. Don't believe in mankind. It teaches you that. I mean, never mind. You can reinterpret the any way you want, turn the other cheek, and all of that stuff. But there's much more to it than that. It teaches you that there's only, you know, a few eternals. And the Rock of Ages teaches you that. So you turn back to it. You have to become a Bible fanatic. I don't know what it means. What does it ever mean for you? It means I may create a church of all faiths. I may just do a Sunday or a Saturday or a Saturday-Sunday sermon and be happy with that, just living live people. I may read the Bible every weekend and talk to people in real life instead of sitting here before a microphone eating my heart out with two political machines that are totally corrupt. Two political machines that are riding on the blood of the American people. They don't have oil inside these machines. They have the blood of the American people. They're riding on the blood and the guts of the American people. And the people know it. And you think they really are going to get salvation from Barack Hussein Obama? Do you really believe that a man who came out of the backwards of the Chicago political machine is going to save you? I say that to people. I run into them. Security guards, black, white, they think he's going to save them. People on welfare, they think he's going to save them. I say to you, do you actually think your life's going to improve? Are you kidding? And they say yes, and I say, well, I'll ask you one question. Do you think he got where he is on his own? And, you know, even the most humble night watchman gets it when I say that to them. Do you think he got where he did alone? Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't. So I expect no great change for the little man when Barack Hussein Obama wins, but I expect great change for the people in the middle and above.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Most of you know that Michael has written his fifth book. I think he just told you that the first shipment is here. If you want one of these for the holidays, still plenty of time to get that. I want you to go to Michael Savage. MichaelSavage.com. You can get all the information about psychological nudity, Michael's fifth book. I'm going to try to put some of those books in your hands as well today. So we'll do that in just a little bit. But MichaelSavage.com, before I get too far ahead of myself, you need to go there anyway. Michael was talking about he is the news. Well, he is. Go to MichaelSavage.com. You'll see what I'm talking about. All right. You know, I was listening to Michael and just before I came on. And you know, I agree with a lot of what he says as far as, you know, how much longer is this election going to go? And what does it really mean? Who are these two guys? McCain, a conservative? No, not by a long shot. Quite honestly, the GOP, if they lose, have themselves to blame, not the constituency. Barack Hussein Obama. I was thinking about this morning. If he doesn't win, who's next in the Democratic lineup? I mean, think about it for a second. Who could they possibly put up any worse than this guy? You know, I get tired of this. You know, I do it in the mornings, you know, 5 days a week, and I get tired of this, and I think to myself, you know, what does this mean? Are we just all pawns in this giant political chess game that has been predetermined anyway? And I started thinking about it. I was traveling about 5 days ago on an airplane. And I had to take a late flight. Now, I don't normally do that, but I had to take the late flight. I had to get where I was going. And so I got in very, very late. Now, I'm one of the first to get off on the plane because I'm sitting in first class. And it's not because I'm pretentious or demonstrative or filthy rich. It's just that I fly so much. It doesn't cost me anything. So, you know, why not? So I'm one of the first people off the plane, maybe the second or third person. So I make it down the little jetway there. And by this time, it's late. The concourse is dark and pretty much closed. All the restaurants are closed. Everything's closed. So I get off the plane and I hang a right and I'm beat. I mean, I'm done. And I need to get up standing all by herself, save but for two children. She's not standing there dressed to the nines. She's got on a pair of jeans and a nice top and she's holding a stroller or has her hands on the top of this stroller. Inside the stroller looks to be maybe a year and a half, maybe 2-year-old boy holding a sign that obviously his mother helped him make. And then there was another little boy, maybe 3 or 4 at the most, certainly under 5, standing next to the stroller. He's also holding a sign that obviously was homemade. And it read, and you know, with grammatical errors and everything else, it read, welcome home. My daddy is my hero. And as I started to walk by them, I thought, you know, I'm going to hang here for just a second because I knew there had to be a military guy on the plane. And I hadn't noticed him when he came in. I probably sat down as I normally do, turned my head towards the window and tried to sleep. So I just, I wasn't in the way. I just kind of backed off toward, where the chairs are, where people normally sit during, the course of the day. I kind of backed off into the woodwork. Next guy gets off. He sees this. He starts to walk off just like I do. He kind of slows his pace, turns around, and he kind of stands off to the side. Then the next person stands off to the side. And then before you know it, half the airplane that is in this airport, so late that the concourse is closed, everybody's tired, and the plane's late, nobody wanted to go. Nobody wanted to leave. And sure enough, I don't know, there must have been 30 or 40 people sort of standing. Nobody wanted to stand out in the middle. They just kind of backed up and stood wherever they were. And here comes this guy in camos coming off the airplane. And, of course, the kids are jumping up and down, and he runs to the baby in the stroller and the wife, and they're all hugging and everything. and everybody just started slowly. And then everybody started clapping, and one guy said, he's our hero, too. And then everybody sort of slowly dispersed to leave them, you know, in their moment. And I was walking down this darkened concourse, making my way down to the cars. And I started thinking to myself, that's why we're doing this. That's why we're in the middle of this mess. Those guys with boots on the ground overseas, they deserve better than what they are getting politically. They deserve better than what they are getting from the constituency. We have asked these men to put themselves in harm's way, to do something we would never dream of doing ourselves. Most of us couldn't do it anyway. And that is why this is important. That is why you hold the line. You know, you disagree with the conflict all day long. That's certainly your prerogative in a free country. But when boots are on the ground in harm's way, you don't embolden the enemy. You don't give the enemy the will to fight another day because some Alzheimer-ridden ex-general is out there saying that the army's broken, we can't win, and all the rest. You don't do that. You don't have a right to do that. And as I was walking away, I thought, okay, that's, you know, even though I was physically tired, drained, and you know what I mean if you fly a lot. I mean, it doesn't matter how good a shape you're in or what you eat. By the time you get where you're going, you're just, you know, you're like warm Jell-O, right? Half of you, you know, sort of going off the plate there. That's what I needed. That's all I needed to get up and do the next thing that I needed to do the next morning. Because he's not bitching. He's not whining. He's not crying. He's doing the duty that he swore an oath to do. And the very least we can do is support him in those ideals and those things that this country was founded upon, no matter how out of touch that may seem, no matter how unprogressive we may be looked at. Well, Rick, you're not in the loop. You just don't get it, man. You're not progressive. You're not progressive. You know, we're about change. We're about this. We're about that. Hey, you know what? Some traditions are worth preserving. And some traditions, if you don't preserve them, you can't survive. So, you know, so don't tell me. I don't care about that. You know, I was probably one of the most vocal people against Palin when she was first selected for vice president. You know, I thought, oh, man, you know, we didn't need this. And I got to tell you, she's shown me a little something. And why is she hated as much as she's hated? Well, her position on abortion. You know, she doesn't believe abortion ought to be thrown out there as a form of birth control that the progressives seem to embrace. You know, I mean, this woman stands for everything that the feminists do not stand for. You know, I don't know. In the long run, history will tell us if politically it was the right move. But right now, I'm just kind of happy it's getting under the skin of the liberals. So whether it's Barack Hussein Obama and his non-birth certificate. Where was this guy born? Have any of you ever had to supply information to an employer about where are you from, point of origin? You know that whole thing. If you're employed somewhere, you have to have certain forms of ID, the I-9 and all that stuff. Yeah, right. Now, here's the president of the United States, or at least he wants to be the candidate for president of the United States, and we don't know where his birth certificate is. If he's got it, why doesn't he just say, well, here's the certificate. Now move on, please. I mean, why doesn't he just do that? Well, you heard Berg on Savage's show yesterday, and he brought up some very valid points. He's the attorney in Pennsylvania that's filing the lawsuit. I can't believe at this particular juncture, what are we, 10 days away from the election? We're still trying to figure out if one of the candidates is qualified under our rules and regulations in a free democracy to run. You know, he's over in Hawaii, supposedly visiting grandma. I, you know, if she's sick, God bless her. You know, I heard she broke a hip. Well, that's, you know, that can be tough. But none of this adds up. None of any of this adds up. McCain is not my first pick. You know that. But I don't want a socialist communist in the White House any more than the next guy. You know, with all of this, all these people, you know, Barack Hussein's going to save us. We're going to get money back. You know, every single presidential candidate says that. And none of them come through on it. Not one single one. And please don't tell me that race doesn't play a factor. I was born at night, but not last night. I know better than that. All right. We're going to open up the lines here. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. This is the Savage Nation. I'm Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael. And, Michael, thank you for the opportunity. Let's go to San Diego. Faye, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
I just wanted to encourage conservatives to really start speaking out, find your voice, and get a backbone, and speak out about how you feel, and stop being, you know, intimidated into silence, as fascist Germany was, because this is not fascist Germany, and I think it's time people start speaking out. I just also wanted to mention that I called my senators and my representative, as well as the Republican Party here in San Diego, to ask them if they, you know, what they were doing about Philip Berg's lawsuit and what they knew about it, and they basically all claimed that they didn't know anything about it.
What is it? See, hear no evil, see no evil, evil, speak no evil, right? You know, they said the same thing, Faye, about, you know, I've asked many, many politicians, whether it's Daryl Issa, or, you know, Duncan Hunter, he'll talk to you. He's a good guy. Chan Credo, whoever it happens to be, about the North American Prosperity Agreement, the homogenizing of America, Mexico, and Canada into one loosely defined North American Union modeled after the European Union. You know, I have not to this day been able to get any answer from any politician on it. And guess what? It's on the government's own website. Now, how does that work, Faye?
Well, that's the way of things now. In fact, one of them said, "No, it's not true. It's we haven't heard anything about it, but it's not on the news either."
Oh, it's not on the news. Therefore, it does not exist. It's not on the 5 o'clock news from the lamestream media. Therefore, it is not relevant to the American people. That's basically what you got.
And yesterday, as I was driving my car, I have a McCain bumper sticker on the back, and a couple pulled up next to me and said, "Shame on you." So shame on me for promoting McCain. I think it's amazing that we're in this climate where, you know, we're actually being intimidated into this Obama mania. I think that the reason so often that conservatives aren't speaking out is because they're afraid of sounding politically incorrect.
Listen to Savage's show for any length of time, and you'll get over that in a heartbeat. Faye, I appreciate the call very much. I know Michael does as well. Yeah, it's a good message. Don't be intimidated. Speak your mind. Yeah, Lord knows the other side is speaking their mind, whether it's Biden and his, what was it, flourishes, his political flourishes. Basically, he accidentally got on the straight talk bus, I guess. I don't know. Biden is an arrogant ass. I don't like him. I never have. And half the things he says, I have to go Google to see if he's even telling me the truth. But, you know, Faye, that is the political way, is it not? New Hampshire, Dennis. Dennis, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Dennis?
I have a question. I listened to the program last night, and I was very taken aback by the fact that it was a wonderful program. The lawyer from Pennsylvania that is filed suit against the eligibility of Mr. Barack Obama.
Right.
I am kind of curious to know why, what your take on it is, that I am at a point in my life where I'm a little bit disabled, so I get to listen to the reformed alcoholic, I get to listen to the golfer, I get to listen to Sean Hannity, I get to listen to everybody. Not one news company, not one company has ever picked up 5 seconds of what went on for an hour and a half last night on the Michael Savage show. And I am curious as to know why your take on that is are we afraid of the truth, or what is your take on that?
Well, you know, this? Dennis, I think Michael broached that very issue before he signed off just a moment ago. Michael has the great luxury of working for an independent. He is not beholden, if you will, Dennis, to any large corporation that may or may not be interlocked in some form or fashion at some level with someone on Wall Street. I've talked with Mr. Berg. I'm also very fortunate to work for an independent. And, you know, we have certain latitudes that most people don't. They could if they wanted to, but it wouldn't be, how do I say this, professionally healthy for them to do that. Everybody's beholden. You know, I like to say I've got no sacred cows, and I don't. I don't. Once you have a sacred cow, once you become beholden to someone, Dennis, it's the very reason that a lot of politicians won't go on the Savage Show, because they know it's not a softball game. They know that Michael's not beholden to someone. Therefore, they're going to be asked the questions that the people want answers to, not the questions that is going to enhance their position, their agenda, what have you. And that, Dennis, is a very, very important difference between the Savage Nation and some of the other shows you mentioned. Michael's simply not beholden to anyone, and the people he works for do not hold him to those economic standards. I think it's a money-driven thing, Dennis. I think that's it, pure and simple. And if you ignore something long enough in the Beltway, it morphs into something else. It always does. Dennis, I appreciate the call very much. Your calls straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. And don't forget, we're going to try to get a copy of Michael's book, Psychological Nudity, in your hand. Go to michaelsavage.com. We'll take your calls in just a second. Once again, Rick Roberts in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you so much for the opportunity once again. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. I want to get right to your calls. Of course, Barack Hussein Obama. That's still okay, right, to use his middle name? I'm not going to be carted away by people in black Suburbans, right? Okay. Barack Hussein Obama over in Hawaii, even as we speak, visiting his ill or injured grandmother. And if she's really ill or really injured, then, you know, God bless her. If he's over there just trying to, you know, get another birth certificate on a street corner, hey, bro, hey, yeah, well, that's a whole different deal. This seems a little odd to me. The whole thing seems odd to me, but who am I? Steve in Chicago, Illinois. Steve, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good, Rick. I'm not sure. I wanted to give you a little bit of a hard time because I'm not sure Michael Savage would appreciate you calling liberals progressive.
Say that again, Steve.
Progressive.
There you go. All right.
Anybody who's ever studied religious cults and all their traits knows that pretty much we've got a party, the Democratic Party, who's filled with Kool-Aid drinking, Church of Liberalism cultists who, you know, do exactly what, you know, the worst of the worst religious cults do.
And probably even transcending those individual actions by those cults, because, you know, generally speaking, those cults only affect the people that are directly involved, you know, of course, peripherally, the families and so on. You know, these people affect a nation. You know, I was looking at the polls, Stephen, and the national polls, which I don't spend a lot of time looking at national polls because basically what we have is a series of elections in a series of states. And then you combine it all, and that's what you end up with. But you're right in the sense that if you recall the last time we went through this, the Democratic Party was being defined by whom? Michael Moore, George Soros, Sean Penn, Susan Sarandon, Tim Robbins, you know, all the true leftist liberals were defining the Democratic Party, and that's what fractured the party. Same thing, it's like the GOP said, hey, look, they screwed themselves, let's screw ourselves. And they did exactly the same thing. And I can say that because I'm an independent, and I can look at it with an unbiased eye and say, hey, somebody get their act together here. Somebody do something correctly. But neither party has. Neither party has. So once again, as we have so many times in the past, we're trying to pick the lesser of two evils. But in this particular case, you know, I don't care, and I know it's going to upset somebody. I don't care if you're deaf, dumb, and blind. This is an easy pick, unless, of course, you want to go the way. I think Michael used the term the USS of A, United Soviet States of America. If that's what you want, well, Barack Obama's your guy. I don't particularly want that. I'm looking at it this way. Which candidate can screw up the country less in 4 years, McCain or Obama? And, of course, I come down on McCain's side. Joanne in New York. Joanne, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I was just wondering if Obama's grandmother is so ill, why didn't he take Michelle and the 10-year-old and 7-year-old daughters out to see her on her deathbed?
You know, Joanne, I actually had that thought early this morning as I saw Michelle Obama walk onto the stage. Where was it? Was it Ohio? No, it wouldn't have been Ohio. I don't know where she was, but she was out on the campaign stump in his stead, is the way I understand it. You know, he went, he thought, I think he made the statement that his grandmother may not live to see see the culmination of this presidential election cycle, may not see the election. And I think Michelle stayed behind to hit the campaign trail. Appreciate the call very much. Your call straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation.
This is Michael Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Always a pleasure and an honor to sit in for Michael behind the microphone when he happens to be away. Michael, thank you. Want you to go to michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com. A lot of information there. The stuff you're not going to get from the lamestream press. I don't know, the truth. You'll get all the information on Michael's fifth book. Of course, the previous four are all bestsellers. I'm sure the fifth book is destined to be a bestseller as well. Psychological Nudity. As a matter of fact, I'll try to put a couple of those books in your hands here in just a little bit. Toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. I've tried to look with an unbiased eye, listen with an unbiased ear, try to make some sense out of this presidential election cycle. I can't. I can't listen to Biden, as I said before, at the risk of being redundant. He's an arrogant ass. I don't believe half of what he says. As far as Barack Obama is concerned, who is this guy? A creation of the Democratic National Committee, and he is, I don't even know if he's qualified to run. When I say qualified, I'm not talking about his political resume or the lack thereof. Where's his birth certificate? Where was he born? I mean, come on. This should be a slam dunk. Well, here's my birth certificate. No, not the duplicate registration of birth from Hawaii, the original. Were you born in Kenya? If you were, just say so. Well, then he couldn't be president. Of course, Philip Berg was on Michael's show yesterday. Many of you heard that. He has filed the lawsuit. He actually said that there would be some action today or perhaps Monday. He also said he has in his possession a tape of the paternal grandmother saying she witnessed the birth in Kenya of Barack Obama. So, I don't know. This seems like the whole thing could go away in 15 minutes if Barack Obama just would answer the question. You heard Michael a little earlier saying, just answer some questions. That's all you have to do. Answer some questions. I guess the constituency, that's you and that's me, we're good enough to cut those checks every April 15th, and we're good enough to clap and wear funny hats at political rallies. But we're not good enough to answer to as far as the people that are working for us. Because at the end of the day, all these people work for you. They all work for you. Unless you advocate that responsibility away, too, then you deserve what you get. Norfolk, Virginia, let's go to Walker. Walker, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Walker?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
A couple of things I'd like to point out, and I'll keep it as brief as I can. One, it's amazing to me that this guy, Obama, is running much like you see in the third world countries that have democracies, where he's promising them everything under the sun and they're falling for it. And yet in all his advertising, he's going to look after the middleman, you know, the middle-income brackets, and yet the low-income brackets seem to fall in love with him. But the thing I really wanted to point out, the lady you had previously that called gave, a good point about why didn't he take his wife and children if she's so gravely ill. What I find amazing is that anyone that had half a sense or care for someone, if they were so gravely ill, would have immediately made arrangements to fly to Hawaii and visit his grandmother. Yet this guy continued to campaign for, 3 days after the announcement came through?
I think it was something like that. I'm not sure. I don't know what the report was about how gravely ill she was, you know, but he did make the statement, well, we're not sure if she's going to make it to the election. Well, that sounds pretty sick to me.
Yeah, what? You know, would you have campaigned for 3 days?
No. Well, of course, I was raised by my grandmother, God rest her soul. Had she fallen gravely ill, it didn't matter what was going on. You do what you got to do, and you go see her, and you go try to do what you can to make it better. And if it means that's the end, then you make that as comfortable as possible. And then you can go back on the stump and start trying to buy votes again. You know, Walker, you said something. You said something that Barack Obama and Biden, you know, it's all about the middle class, middle class, middle class. Well, every presidential candidate, you know, going back as far as I can remember, it's all about the middle class. Very rarely is it about the middle class. They only say that because that's where the bulk of Americans live, is in that middle class area. You know, I've done the math. You know, I'm no Rhodes Scholar. But I have been to school a day or two, and I can run a calculator. I may have to recheck my work, but I can run a calculator. I've done the math. You can't give 95% of the working Americans a tax cut, because if you do, that means you're giving somebody money that didn't pay any taxes. And if you look at it from that standpoint and you start looking at the real hard numbers, basically what Obama and Biden are doing, they're buying votes. Basically, it's a... Who is it? It's Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Yeah, what do you want? How much will you take for a vote? My vote? Well, I'm not even registered. Oh, we can take care of that, too. We got a little kiosk here. We'll just go ahead and register. How much do you want for the vote? I don't know. $1,000? Okay, done. I mean, that's essentially what we're doing. We've put a giant garage sale sign up at every port of entry into America. We have decided that we will, forgive me, whore out the country politically. And it's now we know what we're dealing with. It's just a matter of how much they'll pay. That's all. That's all it is. You can't give 95% of working Americans tax cuts because a full 30% or more don't even pay taxes. And Joe the plumber, he's Mr. Middle Class. They turned on him like a rabid lion would on a newborn cub. Look, Mr. Middle Class, we love you. Just keep your mouth shut, okay? Mr. Middle Class, oh, yeah, God, I love the plumbers. I love the plumbers. Pull your pants up. Love the plumbers. Just don't ask us any questions in front of the cameras, all right? Just stand over there. Be cute. Or you got a hard hat? Yeah, maybe a tool belt? Put that on. That'll look good. Just don't ask us any questions. See, that to me was the biggest hypocritic move they could have ever made. They were hypocrites. They were out there walking the block, talking to middle-class America. How you doing, middle-class? I'm doing fine, Barack. Yeah, and then they run up on a guy, Joe the plumber, and he starts asking questions. Well, what if I don't want to stay where I am economically? What if I want to try and achieve? Okay, who is that guy? He's a middle-class guy. Okay, get him out of here. Get him out of here. Well, what a joke. The whole thing was a joke, but it was very, very telling. Once you peel the onion back and your eyes start to water and you start to do that, then you realize what you're dealing with. And after Joe the plumber and the onion layers started coming off, your eyes started to water and, oh man, what is that? That's Barack Obama and Joe Biden and the real agenda. Pennsylvania, I'm sorry, how do you pronounce your name? Forgive me.
Oh, it's Bijan.
Bijan, thank you for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi. I was calling to see if I could get one of those books.
Well, Bijan, you have to tell me, do you listen to Michael Savage on a regular basis?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what story that you have heard, either first person or someone has told you, what story are you looking forward to reading about in Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity?
My first autopsy.
My first autopsy. All right, Bijan, that's good enough. I'm going to make sure you get one of Michael's books, the new book, Psychological Nudity. You stay right there. We'll give some more books away as well. I mean, there's so many stories. I'm glad Michael put it in book form because you think something will remind you. You'll smell a smell. It'll remind you of something Michael said, or you see something or you hear something. And it's like, what was that story? What was that story? How did that go? Well, now it's in book form, Psychological Nudity. Go to michaelsavage.com. That's michaelsavage.com. Get all the information right there. Duluth, Minnesota, Roy. Roy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Roy?
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me. I am your typical could be Democrat. I was born 3 months premature. I'm disabled. I prefer not to be called Native American because I believe that all of us who were born here, unlike Barack Obama, who can't prove where he was born, are born Native Americans. I'm proud to be an American Indian, whether they like that term or not. Concerning last night's program, after the show was over, I called our local CBS-NBC affiliates and asked them why they hadn't touched on this. The gal said that she would look it up on the Internet while we were talking. She couldn't find anything on the AP wire lead or anything there, but she did find it on the Internet. She referred me to call the Minnesota Republican Committee. I called them. They said to call the Republican National Committee. I called them. They said it's a McCain problem. I called them. They said there wasn't much response. They're, quote, working, unquote, on it. And when I called the AP, they denied ever hearing about it. So as a last resort, I called CBN and talked to a gal named Cookie. She said that they don't do investigative reporting and that this is something they don't want to get in on. They are the evangelical Christians who should stand up with us and be counted. She told me to call John Stossel at ABC. Now, who's oiling whose pockets?
You know, Roy, I'm really glad you called, and I'll tell you why. What you experienced, aside from untold millions in long-distance telephone calls, was the typical lamestream media runaround. Nobody wants to table this issue. Nobody wants to touch this issue because they don't know who is connected and who is not connected. They don't know if they may be treading on something that may hurt them financially, economically down the line. That's why Michael does it, because, as I said before, at the risk of being redundant, he's not beholden, nor is the company that syndicates him. They're not beholden to anybody. They're not part of the Wall Street inner circle. They're not part of the good old boy three martini lunch group. You know, they don't have any problem telling the truth. They got no problem telling the truth. And the truth is, Barack Hussein Obama has yet to produce an original birth certificate that shows that he was born in the United States of America. Period. End of story. Now, you also said one of these news agencies said, well, it's a McCain problem. Oh, I think you said the Republican National Party said it was a McCain problem. A McCain problem? Wait. A guy that is running for president of the United States of America that may or may not have been born in the United States, that's not a people problem. That's not the problem with the country. That's not a constituency. That's a McCain problem. You got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding. Have we come to this? If nobody yells about it or talks about it, then we'll just pretend it isn't so. Is that where we are in this country? You know, please tell me we haven't sunk to that level. Tell me that at least when you get up in the morning, you can put your two fingers up on the side of your neck and feel a pulse. Because if you put your fingers up there and you get, I don't feel anything, must be a McCain problem. I don't feel anything. Hold on, let me check my heart. No, don't hear a thing. Must be in a Barack Obama problem. Then you're already dead. The spirit of America has died within you. This is not a McCain problem or a Barack Obama. This isn't a political problem. This is a people problem. This is a country problem. This is a problem when people can run roughshod politically over the people that they depend on to bail their lame butts out every time they screw up on Wall Street or inside the Beltway. All right, now I'm just getting angry. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Toll-free everywhere. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Again, I urge you to go to michaelsavage.com for all the information you won't get from the lamestream media, things like the truth. Also, Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. I'll try to give another one of those away here in just a bit. Let's go to San Diego, talk with Ray. Ray, thank you very much for waiting. I appreciate it. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Rick, I just want to say I am so proud of you and Michael Savage for bringing this birth certificate up. And I am so furious with Rush Limbaugh, whom I really like, and what's his name, Sean Hannity, that they are such chickens that they can't bring this up. If this was a Democrats found out something against the Republicans, it would be splashed everywhere. And I am absolutely furious that they don't bring this stuff up about this carpetbagger that's trying to be president of the United States. It just makes me furious.
Well, let me ask you something, Bray, because I appreciate your passion. I appreciate people that have a pulse. Whether they agree with me or disagree is not the issue. I just want people to get involved, and you obviously are involved. Let me ask you something. What should be done at this particular point? Should basically all the lamestream media outlets be held to account by the American public saying, hey, before we get much further in the next 10 days, could we at least find out if Barack Obama is an American citizen? Would that be too much to ask? Should Barack Obama be required to prove his citizenship in the next 10 days? Or do we just wait until, God forbid, he's elected? Then, of course, then the process is impeachment, and that could take forever. Should he be required at this particular point in time to prove, yes or no?
Well, it's bad enough. You can't even, you don't have to show identification to vote, which is bad enough. But to be president of the United States, of a whole country where he's got all this power, you have to show identification to get an airplane ticket, to get your driver's license, to be president of the United States. I don't know. I just can't even. I am so furious. I can't even think about it. I can't even. No, I hope that they find out, but they're not going to find out because they want to be part of, we got him elected. Look at us. Look at all the power we're going to have now.
Ray, I would suggest this, to temper that passion, to let it play itself out in a constructive manner. Get the names and locations of your elected representatives and simply type them an email. Now, let me give you a hint. When you type an email, don't do any more than 4 or 5 lines, because if it's more than that, they'll bring it up. My God, it's 5 paragraphs and it's gone. And I'm just telling you, that's what they do. Just say, hey, as an American citizen getting ready to vote in a free and open election, I would like to satisfy myself that at least one of the presidential candidates is not a foreign-born national. I just like to know that. And I think you're due that. Are you not? I think a lot of the people that have fought and died to preserve this great nation are due that. I mean, if you can't, Joe the Plumber, look what they did to Joe the Plumber, for crying out loud. They virtually skewered this guy. For what? Wait a minute. If I make over $250,000, then you're going to tax me. Well, no, I'm not against your success, but I believe we need to spread the wealth. They skewered this guy. They hammered this guy. That's Mr. Middle Class. That's the guy that they say they're working for. Your call straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Again, please go to michaelsavage.com. That's michaelsavage.com for all the information, more information about Berg, of course, and the lawsuit to try and prove that Barack Obama, or disprove, is it real or a Memorex? Is he a U.S. citizen or a foreign national? I don't know. Based on all the information that Berg's been able to ascertain, along with Jerome Corsi, WorldNet Daily, and everybody else, this guy could be looking at deportation, for crying out loud. This all could go away. Here's my birth certificate. Now, y'all shut up. All right. I've got an election to win. Why not? Jackie, North Carolina. Jackie, thanks for waiting. How you doing, Jackie?
Hey, love the show, Rick. I'm so happy. I have to say I'm just real happy because I tell you, I thought I was losing my mind for about 2 months. And because I knew that there was something not right about this guy. The thing is that I am an African American, and I have tried so hard to get on the Obama bus. I can't do it. It doesn't add up.
Okay, Jackie, is this an internal feeling? Was there information or a story or questions unanswered, or was it a gut feeling, or pardon the expression, what was it exactly?
for me, it was deeper than a gut feeling. It was something, it's something beyond. It's something that you can't explain. It's just something in me that every time I look at him, every time I hear him talk, something just doesn't sound right. And every time someone would say that, they would say, oh, well, you know, it's because, you know, of this or that, or it's, you know, it's your, you know, you don't want to believe that he could, you know, rise to this kind of power. Of course he could rise to this kind of power. Anyone like him could rise to this kind of power. Hitler rose to this kind of power. Anyone in this nation who doesn't think that we aren't a ruler away from turning into Nazi Germany is crazy. Anyone who doesn't think that all we need is someone who can talk a good game and that can start to break down the talk, the rhetoric, the independence of people thinking can be turned. People can be easily turned. It wasn't too far ago in the 1970s. I will still remember my parents talking about this man who changed so many lives, and people just followed him like the Pied Piper. You guys know him best as Jim Jones.
You know, I was just about, it was on the tip of my tongue when you were speaking, because you're talking about a mentality. Really, I don't know, some people have the ability, whether it's radio, television, even print, or just, you know, hearing someone speak, they have the ability to reach in and grab someone by the spirit. Now, you know, I personally, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ as the living Son of God, and I don't do the God hour, but if somebody asks me, I tell them. You know, I truly believe, Jackie, there are, and I'm not saying the guy's the Antichrist. I've seen all those, you know, those emails and all that stuff. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying there are forces at work in the world. Good forces and evil forces. There are forces at work that you know will act in our best interest, and there are forces that if we follow them long enough will lead us to no good end. I mean, I truly believe that, and thanks to my grandparents for giving me that foundation. I don't see, when I see Barack Obama, and I even hesitate to say this because it's going to sound like I'm you know, doing some late night show about UFOs. That's not what I'm saying. When I look at him, I don't see a soul. I don't see, this is very difficult for me to put into words in a way that I hope you understand it. I see a vacuum filled with political ideas, political aggression, political aspiration, political aggressiveness. I see the epitome of the political system where a human being should be. And please, if he happens to be listening, I don't mean this on a personal level. I'm just giving my opinion. When I look at Barack Obama, I just don't see something that relates back to me. I see a vacuum filled by all the things I just mentioned, and it bothers me. It's worrisome. I'm not up at night pacing the floor, but it bothers me because I see someone that will justify anything to the end he is trying to reach. And that is no good for anyone, whether you're in politics or the private sector or anything else. I appreciate the call very, very much. I wish, sometimes I struggle for words, and I wish I could relate to you better what I'm feeling when I say that. I look at John McCain. I can see the years of service. I can see the result of his torturous captivity. I can see those things on his face, in his eyes. I hear it in his words. I see a man that perhaps is frustrated from time to time dealing with the things he deals with. But at the core, I also see a guy that's trying to do the right thing, or the right thing as he perceives it. That isn't making my pick for GOP candidate, far from it. But I can at least see that. I don't see that in Obama. Let's go to Eric in Portland. Eric, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Eric?
Hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, sure. First and foremost, I just want to say that, you know, I've been a Republican for a long time. But to be quite honest, you know, and, you know, sizing up both these candidates, I really got to explain why I think Barack Obama would probably be the right candidate. Because the fact of the matter is that I'd rather have somebody smart and questionable as opposed to stupid and ignorant. I am so tired of seeing John McCain and that billy goat face with his eyes blinking around like he's lost and never really, you know, calling Brock out on the carpet on anything, really, and basically never really getting to any issues. I mean, it's all lip service. And, you know, I've been entrenched in the Republican Party values for a long time, and I'm just so sick and tired of the GOP and how short they've really came in the last few years. And I think that somebody better stand up and, you know, deliver on a decent candidate that can actually, you know, deliver on their promises and stick to the core values of the GOP.
And that is why you're voting for Obama.
Well, I mean, I could vote for none of the above, but, you know, the question is, do I want to throw a vote away? I mean, again, I'd rather have somebody that's basically smart and questionable as opposed to stupid and ignorant.
Okay, well, Eric, now we've come full circle and back to the beginning of the call. I would say this. You prefaced your comments by saying you would prefer someone smart and questionable rather than someone stupid. And then you went on to tell me, you didn't give me any specifics as to why you evaluate Obama's intelligence over McCain's intelligence, other than you don't like his face and his eyes blink too much and he looks lost and he doesn't speak well. None of that speaks to intelligence. All of that speaks to a peripheral issue, which is how does it play to the American people, brought up on Lost, Survivor, Island, Sex in the City, and American Idol. No, we're not voting for Dancing with the Stars. We're voting for someone that has leadership ability. And whether you think he's a smart guy or not, I think what you are basing his intelligence on is flawed. No, he's never going to be a Speaker of the Year. All right, he's never going to be a Toastmaster. But he has proven his leadership. He has proven that he will not sell out America. If he wouldn't sell out America for 5 years in the Hanoi Hilton being tortured every day, I'm pretty sure he's not going to sell out the American people sitting in the Oval Office. As far as Obama, I would question his intelligence. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the things he has said and you trace them back to their original origin, most of what he says isn't original at all. It has been lifted from various speeches and various speech writers. As far as questionable, that's everything, my friend. There should be no question about the man that is working for you as the commander-in-chief, about the man that is working for you as leader of this great nation. There should be no question. And if he leaves a question, that's enough for me not to vote for the guy. That's enough for me. Now, I agree with you. McCain's no great orator, nor will he ever be. And yeah, he has the face that has been weathered with years of not only torture but service to the country. Maybe he blinks too much. I don't know. I've never noticed that. But at the end of the day, even though he would not be my pick as the candidate for the GOP, I have no question in my mind that he will not sell the country out. I don't believe he will. I appreciate the call very, very much. All right. We still need to give another book away, don't we? Don't we need to do that? I think we should. All right. We'll do a little business back with your calls. 1-800-449-8255. Let me take another call, if I can, very quickly. Arizona, and I'm sorry, how do you pronounce your name?
Itasca,
thank you for waiting. I appreciate it very, very much. Itasca, this is a good point, a point in time to give a book. You know about Michael Savage's previous four books, do you not?
I know a little bit about him, yes.
Okay. Well, have you listened to Michael long enough to have a favorite story? Because Michael is the ultimate storyteller. Is there a favorite story that you're looking forward to in the book?
Yes. But I have a couple of comments, too. Yes. The story I'm looking forward to is Electric Blue Saddle Stitch Pants.
Okay. That's pretty popular. Okay. Don't hang up when we get through talking, because I want to make sure we get your information. All right, you said you had some comments as well.
Yes, I have a fast rhetorical question. Where is John Galt? Not who is John Galt, but where is John Galt when we need someone like him? And then rhetorical. Now, as I've been listening, a thought occurred. Is it possible, do you think, that I've been known to think of some strange flighty ideas. is it possible that Obama's trip to Hawaii could be that he has realized that the gig is up and he's going to slip away onto a slow boat to Jakarta or Kenya and be out of our grasp when we realize for sure that he legally isn't supposed to be running for our president and isn't supposed to be in our country?
Well, you know, if only that were true. I don't believe it is. He's got too much politically invested, too much personally invested. You know, he's not going to slip away. I don't believe his political ego would allow him to do that. And I think he is just arrogant enough to think he is 10 feet tall and bulletproof and that he can weather this storm. Maybe, you know, I've thought about this, Itasca. I thought, well, maybe he does have an original birth certificate and he's waiting until the 11th hour until there's this huge giant momentum rolling over him like a giant wave at Big Sur. And then he's going to pull it out and say, see, you were worried about nothing all the time. You know, unless that's his plan, I think he's deep into it because I think the American people have a right to know if the man is a citizen that is running for president before they cast their ballot. And personally, I don't think there should be an election until that question is answered. And I don't believe that any American should cast their vote until that's answered, whether you're voting Republican or Democrat. It should be a fair and open election. After all, we're not having to paint our fingers purple and stand in line and dodge sniper fire in the first pre-election in 34 and a half years. We should have this down. I said it before, Itasca, and I mean this sincerely. We spend more time, money, and resources dispensing lottery tickets in convenience stores than we do protecting the integrity of our vote in this country. And that's a damn shame. And again, I go back to that that original story that I started with when I got off the plane. You know, that guy getting off that plane in those camos, seeing his two little kids and his wife, probably for the first time since he was deployed, we owe him better. That's right, you and I, we owe him better. I don't expect the politicians to do anything for him, but we owe him better than what he's getting right now. Itasca, I appreciate the call. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Demonstration of my sincerity. This is for you, America. Hey, Paul.
Hey, O. You look like you got something on your mind, son.
Paul, why are people so set on staying on the same road that's been messing us up for so long?
Well, O, people are funny. Sometimes change scares them. And they'd rather keep doing the same old thing that's been messing them up than change to the thing that can help them.
Like the time I wanted to fish for lake trout using peanut butter and jelly as bait?
Yeah, just like
that's
that,
right,
O.B.
Yeah. You got stubborn and wouldn't switch no matter what I said.
When I'm a grown-up, I sure would like to vote for somebody as good as Mr. Obama.
Well, if you stay healthy and strong, avoid any felonies, stay away from the butterfly ballot, I bet you'll get a chance.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, the world as we once knew it is now over. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Believe it or not, that was for real. That wasn't made up. Ron Howard, which played Opie in the Andy Griffith Show. And of course, that was Andy Griffith himself. And then Fonzie, he showed up. Amazingly, they're all still alive. They showed up to do an ad for Obama. Ron Howard dressing up like Opie and Andy Griffith playing a paw, and then he does a wardrobe change and goes from the Andy Griffith Show to Happy Days, and then Fonzie is there, and they all talk about how great Obama is. You know, I just bought the box set of the Andy Griffith Show, you know, because it was something from when I was a little kid, and I wanted to have it, and I thought, oh, gosh, this will be fun. And now it's like, man, when Opie starts selling out the country, what else is left? All right. Just a little personal observation. Where's Aunt B? Give Barney his bullet back. Sherry in Sacramento. Sherry, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good. I do not trust Obama. I am African-American. I am voting McCain. There are too many dots that Americans are not connecting. How do you sit inside someone's church for 20-plus years and not know what's going on and how someone thinks and pose with Farrakhan and give Farrakhan awards and then suddenly denounce.
Well, I'll tell you how you do it, Sherry. You're playing to an American constituency that is more concerned with the season premiere of Sluts in the City or Survivor Island. That's how you do it. You know, they used to call Bill Clinton the Teflon Don. Nothing stuck to this guy. I mean, nothing. Barack Obama invented Teflon. He's got it oozing out of every pore in his body. And, you know, you've heard the tapes from Reverend Wrong's church. You've heard everything. I've gone down the list, and you know what? It hasn't affected Obama in the least. And you remind me, Sherry, I had to give away the annual DD Award. She said, Rick, I'm African-American, and I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's black. And as much as I disagree with the premise, at least she's honest enough to not beat around the bush and waste my time and hers trying to convince me otherwise. She went on to say, and you'll be happy to know, I'm very conservative in my beliefs. I don't believe in an abortion, so I disagree with him on that. I go to church. I believe in God. But for the first time, we have an African-American candidate, and I'm voting for Obama because he's black. And I thought to myself, well, you're voting for Barack Obama because he's black, not because of his policies or anything, just because he's black. You know, if white people did that, you'd never have a black candidate. I mean, just based on the number of African Americans living in this country, if white people did the same thing, you'd never, ever have a black candidate for any political office. And she waited for just a second, big pregnant pause in the conversation. Okay, thank you, click. Brilliant retort. All right, let's go to Chicago. Rana, thanks for waiting. How you doing, Rana?
Good. I live in Chicago and called my Senator Turbin Durbin's office to ask what he was going to do regarding Obama's birth certificate issue, and I was told to call the RNC, and when I tried to get a word in and tell her that I didn't believe it was an RNC issue but a constitutional issue, I was told, first of all, the woman talked over me, and then she told me she was disconnecting the call, and she hung up on me. So much for living in a representative government.
Rana, God bless you. Keep trying. That's all I can say. Keep trying. The country's worth protecting. The people that live within her borders are worth preserving. This great nation is worth handing off to another generation if it survives that long. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. Savage, thank you so much. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.